Tuesday, April 4, 2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along here with my better half and co-host, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
I'm okay. Things are starting to get a little I have a big week and a half ahead of me, and I'm trying to make sure everything is straightened out before that week and a half starts. Eric, you are joining us from the world's finest rest stop somewhere between Cincinnati and New Jersey.
That is correct.
The listeners have to know the commitment, the sacrifices that you put in to record an episode.
When you agree to do something, you agree to do something, right?
Eric, I appreciate that. So a quick housekeeping note. Eric, you are in the home stretch of probably some of the busiest weeks of your professional year, right? Your calendar year in tax season. May will be all the way through the end of it. So almost the entire month of May, going from busy to even busier, will be a very busy month for me. So, in the desired plan of alternating guests, no guests, stuff like that, hoping to be put on a Wednesdays, let's just say from now until the first week of June, if we put out a podcast in the week, you should be happy. That's about as much as we can offer right now. But as you can see, we're dedicated. Eric pulled over on the side of the road at a rest area to be able to do this. And so we can't promise it's always going to be on all Wednesdays, as today would show. And I can't promise that we're going to have like the sort of the flow and the rotation that we had coming into this. But Eric and I are true to our word. Like he said, when you agree to do something, you do something. So we will do our darndest to make sure every week has a new episode of The Better Life. So with that in mind, Eric, let's start this episode, episode 51. Last week, episode 50 with Han was nice. I really enjoyed it. I when we got done recording, I went back to edit it, and I thought there was going to be some travel stuff in there that maybe like, no, everything went really well. Everything came back to gambling. Everything was focused sort of on the experience of traveling with casinos in mind, stuff like that. Got to learn a little bit more about Han as a gambler. So I know that the listeners enjoyed it. And when I was listening back to it, when I was editing, I liked it even more than when we originally did the record with him. So great episode last week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. It was as much fun listening as it was recording.
Good. I want to give a quick shout out to Cousin Vito, who I believe either today or next week is putting out his final episode or his final episode before what could be a never-ending hiatus, because I know how that goes with podcasters. But was sad to hear last week's episode. When I saw that the title had goodbyes in it and that it was only 15 minutes long, I knew what was coming.
Well, I mean, the conversations that I've had with him since that's been out, he seems to have softened his stance a little bit. So, you know, the indefinite hiatus, you know, it's like Michael Jordan had an indefinite hiatus from basketball at one time, too. So,
okay.
You know, it'll be what it'll be. And, you know, just want him to be happy and doing what's right for him.
Absolutely. Eric, well, we're going to start with some experiences that you had at casinos over this past week, because you have some stories to tell from your traveling here. I'm just going to let you roll. Whatever you got in that bag, go ahead and let us have it.
Well, there's less than I thought I'd have to share.
Okay.
I had planned on hitting the Cincinnati casinos. That did not happen because my business trip was stretched out a little bit longer than expected. So on the last You Can Bet on That, they talked about the Jack Casino in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And a new side bet on the craps table. I never made it, so I have no story there.
Okay.
On the way out here, I did stop in West Virginia to Wheeling Island Casino.
Yes.
Have you ever been?
I have not been to that. I've only been to one casino in West Virginia, and that's the Hollywood at Charlestown. So okay. I've not been there yet.
So it was a different experience, but not in a bad way. I only spent one night. It was kind of my my stopping point between home and Cincinnati. But man, the people couldn't be nicer. Like, the crew was really, really good. They had fair games at low limits. Like, I don't know how often I'll be making this trip by driving. I think if I have to come back to Cincinnati, I'll fly next time. But it was a really nice experience. So the next morning, I wake up and, you know, they've got like a buffet breakfast for like $10. I mean, it was
$10.
Like, yeah. All yeah. Right. And okay. With like an omelet station and everything. It wasn't like
$10 is that price point that even if it's like mediocre, I'm
right. You're like, happy. You're like, yeah, okay. Right. It was like $10. Yeah. So, I mean, service was good. The food was good. You know, room was nothing special, and the casino was nothing special other than the limits were really low. There were a bunch of $5 blackjack tables. You know, midweek, so I don't know what it looks like on the weekend. But it was definitely, you know, it's not that far from my house. It's probably maybe a 6-hour drive, something like that. But it was totally different people. You know, once you get out of the Northeast, the edge tends to, you know, wear away and people tend to be a little bit more courteous. These were some very, very nice people, and courteous players. You know, anytime somebody approached the table in the middle of a shoe, they asked if it would be all right if they could, you know, join, or if I wanted them to wait until the end of the shoe.
It's nice.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, it was absolutely like everybody there just kind of got it. And I hope I'm not offending any of our West Virginian listeners, but it was the patrons were more upclass than I had expected. I hope I'm saying that, you know, as nicely as possible. But I was expecting overalls, and there were no overalls. Yeah. So real short casino stay, won a couple of bucks, and back on the road for business.
Okay. Very good. I'm hoping this summer I get an opportunity to visit more area casinos, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York. I mean, you know, that's a little bit, but, you know, still over here on the East Coast. There's actually one in, I think there's a Hollywood, like in North Maryland, right before you get over to the Pennsylvania border, that I haven't been to yet. So I'm hoping to. And then possibly even go that far that you're like you're talking about getting up there into like Western Pennsylvania and maybe over to Ohio. Trips started getting a little longer over there. But there's something about going to those like small market area casinos that kind of makes you feel like you're entering a new world, right?
Yeah, it's totally different. And usually they treat you a little bit better, at least than. You know, for a non-resort,
you stay. Walk in, they're like, "We got a new customer! Get everybody together!" Because everybody in there is like the same 100 people that go every night, right? And so they see you walking, like, "There's someone new!"
Right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there. You know, there is a little bit of charm to that too, yeah. Where like, you know, it's kind of like you're walking into Cheers, and you know they all know each other, and you know you're just kind of like observing.
When you're at those small area casinos, I mean, you can tell that everybody knows each other, right? I mean, like, it's with just the way they interact with each other, with the way the dealers and players interact with each other, with how like comfortable people are just walking around, and you can sort of tell that it's a little different for someone from out of town to be in spots like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Eric, I haven't done a whole lot of gambling because Gamblepalooza is right around the corner, trying to maintain my bankroll for that. But of course, sports betting is continuous. Horrendous week last week, Eric. A horrendous week. It was a bad Monday, and then so like Monday just put, like was just bad, and then it was just little by little each day. It was just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and it's easily my worst, easily the worst week I've had. Since I started this podcast, easily the worst week I've had probably since I started sports betting. But coming back to this week, soccer has been the baseball has been really good to me so far, Eric. I'm 8-3, in Major League Baseball, only betting underdogs. So that's all plus money that winning on, those eight winning. I've only been taking underdogs just by from where I see the value. So, Major League Baseball going well.
Just straight money line?
Straight money line. And also, Eric, I've made Women's World Cup future bets. I will get into it later in a later episode. We'll be a little closer to the World Cup. I'll provide a little bit of a preview. But just for anybody who's curious, if anybody who is interested in doing similar things, here's what I took. I got the United States at 2-1. They looked in the She Believes Cup. And I think that they're a much better team than that. And I still think that they are easily the favorite to win. 2-1, I'll take it. Took Australia at 22.5-1. That's a bet purely on the fact that they have Sam Kerr, who's possibly the most dangerous striker in women's soccer right now. So they always have a puncher's chance of winning. Canada's a really well-rounded team. Stephanie LeBay in goal can help keep those games close. They got them at 32.5-1. And then Nigeria at 150-1. That one is it's a long shot where I think Nigeria can be competitive with most teams that they play. A future bet that I plan on hedging. So I don't think Nigeria can really run with the likes of the French and the Americans and the British, but or even the Australians really. But I do think that they can make it out of their group, and if they can make it out of the group, they can compete. And they have Francisco Ortega on their team, and she's very good at soccer. So those are the bets that I've made. That's probably all I'm doing unless I see the USA at anything higher than what I got at 2-1. But I mean, if this gets like the 3-1, I don't think that'll stick around long enough for people to see it. So those are the bets I made. I'll speak more on it, maybe a group by group like I did the last World Cup in a couple months when we're leading into it. But those are the bets that I made. Eric, you know, as the saying goes, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, which means it pays to be greedy, but not too greedy. Well, this March Madness still going on. Feels like it's been around for a while, but I guess March Madness has its weird like shot to the heart, right? And then it's like this slow burn as we get closer to the championship. But we're in the Final Four. PropSwap wants you to get fat. PropSwap.com, an online marketplace where you can buy and sell sports betting tickets, whether it's a long shot future, a parlay with one game left, or even a straight bet at halftime. PropSwap lets you post your ticket for sale and lock in your money before the game is over. PropSwap is also a great place to find tickets at better odds than what's available at the sportsbook. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. March Madness just kind of been for me, in round of 16 in the Elite Eight. Did it get any better for you?
It did get better for me.
Oh, very
yeah.
good.
Yeah. I actually had a pretty good week last week. I feel bad saying that, as it aligns with your worst week in sports betting history.
Yeah.
Low volume, but I was up 5 units by the end of the week. So that's, I'll take that every time. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Something I wanted to mention, I didn't know really when to bring this up. But since we don't naturally ever really talk about roulette, except sort of anecdotally with like stories or whatever, something I wanted to bring up, Eric, that I'm not sure if most people are familiar with, are you familiar with the French bets in roulette? It's called The Tears, The Orphans, The Voicens, and Zero. What's the actual name for them?
I assume the French bet meant you used your tongue.
What's that?
Yeah, I assume the French bet meant you used your tongue.
That's right.
No?
That's exactly right, Eric. You put your chips in your mouth and then you spit them out onto onto the roulette table, and where they land, that's the French bet. So
I'm not familiar with these French bets.
Okay, so if anybody has ever played roulette overseas, and I think you don't even really see it much outside of maybe some European countries, maybe even maybe even the UK. I'm interested what our UK folks would say if they've seen this, but on some tables you'll see what looks to be like a racetrack, an oval racetrack that has all of the numbers on them, and the numbers are split usually into four. And my French isn't very good, both in knowing and understanding it or pronouncing any word of it, but it's Tier de Cylinder, which is third of wheel, Voice de Zero, which are neighbors of zero, obviously, and then Orphelins or something like that, which essentially means orphans. Third of the wheel, pretty self-explanatory. It takes up a third of the wheel, the roulette wheel. It's like numbers 27 or red 27 through black 33, right? And so that's the section on the wheel that it takes up. You have the big neighbors of zero, which is black 22 to red 25. You have a smaller neighbors of zero, which is sometimes featured on this little racetrack thing, which is like red 12 to black 15, I think. And then you have the orphans, where actually these little pockets in between, 17, 34, 6, 120, 14, 31, and 9. So pretty much they're the sections between the third of wheel and the neighbors to zero. And the reason I'm bringing these up is because there's actually kind of an interesting part of roulette that Americans don't experience, and a lot of them probably never even seen before. In a lot of European, or in some European roulette tables, you will actually see this racetrack looking thing on the table, and it's split up into these bets. And if you're familiar with these bets and you know how much you need to bet to cover what that entire bet is, then you can actually just tell the dealer, I want the orphans, right? Like, you could say orphans, and you drop, I think, a total of the orphans is weird because some of it's straight numbers and some of it is what do you call it when it's like lined over two numbers? I don't know, like a split maybe. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's five total bets that cover those numbers, because it has some splits. And you can actually just drop five bets and be like, I want the orphans, and the dealer would know what you want and put it on the bet. And I think it's interesting only because it's this unique way of betting pre-organized series of numbers, and without having lucky numbers or without thinking of just dropping. How these were put together, why they were put together, I don't know, but it's something that I've seen before, and I was reminded when I was watching the movie The Croupier, because a woman walks up and makes a bet like that. I was reminded of this roulette split like that. Now that I've described it, are you at all familiar with what I'm talking about?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Nope. Most people are probably like, what the fuck is Tim talking about right now? One, why is he talking about roulette? Two, why is he talking about orphans? And three, back to the original question, why is he talking about roulette? I will post a picture of what I'm talking about on Twitter at The Better Life when this releases, so everybody can see what I'm talking about. But just something to look out for. I'm curious if you have seen what I'm talking about, whether you've bet it or not, or you knew what it was when you saw it. If you've ever seen this way of betting on a roulette table, it's usually sort of like between like this, the, you know, the, like the number rows and everything, the like the roulette table, it's between that and the dealer. So it's like it's opposite almost of where the player is on the table. But if you've seen it, let me know. Let me know where you saw it, because I'm curious to see if that's all that popular anymore. All right, Eric, I'm sorry I wasted like 7 minutes of your time here talking about obscure roulette.
You didn't waste. I mean, I could always use a break. That's okay. No problem.
I like how you're like, I only got 15 minutes. I'm like, great. I want to go on a dissertation about these weird roulette bets that there are. Okay. There's one more. There will be one more podcast before Gamblepalooza. But just a quick update. I am now at Ocean, Eric. I'm now at Ocean.
Look at you. Yes. Look at you.
Yes. Got to figure it out from help. I should mind you. I didn't like wiggle my way out of this. I got help from somebody, but, we made it happen and I am now at Ocean, looking forward to it. I get in Friday. I will be out late on Sunday. So I'll be there for at least a full 48 hours. Really looking forward to it. We will talk about final plans on the next one. But Eric, is there anything? I think that like RSVPs are done, right? That's it.
Oh, they better be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have contract in place with the restaurant at Ocean, and reservations are set over at Capriccio. Yeah, I think everything's done. So, yeah, if more people are RSVPing, if the restaurant or bar can accommodate more people, terrific. And if not, you know, I can't do anything at this point. So are you aware, I don't want to call him a friend because that's overstating the relationship. Bill Krakenberger is parlaying his newfound fame, but the awareness that is being reached due to the Showtime show, he has an app out now.
Yeah, I did see that he released an app. I do need to reach out to him and let him know that he needs someone who's better at social media, because when they're advertising it on Twitter, they're not saying what it is. They're just sending out a link to it. So marketing needs to be a little better on this app. But
all right, be careful with your words. Be careful with your words, because it might be just him.
All right. Well, if for some reason Bill Krakenberger is listening to the show, one, Bill, so honored that you're listening. Two, let me know, man. I might be able to help you because social media is kind of my profession. I can help you make that a little bit better in your life.
So in any event, I've downloaded the KrakWins app. It's KrakWins, KrakWins.
Yes.
And basically, he's now selling his picks. Or selling access to his picks is probably a better way to describe it. So I am I'm going to be purchasing a subscription, and I'm going to run with him along with run with my own, and you know, we'll see if there's ROI on the subscription.
All right, you want me to send you my picks too, so you can fade those and get a little bit more money.
You know what? That would actually be cheaper and probably more profitable in the long run.
Yeah. Probably.
Did you catch the Showtime episode?
I did.
Number two.
I did. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here's a good conversation to have right now. Before we get it, let me just say, I talked to my friend Gil Alexander the other night, and he has agreed, Eric, to, after the series airs, to come on here onto The Better Life, and we can talk about the series in full and sort of get into the nuances of everything that we saw.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, so that's coming down the pipe. I'll even warn the listeners when that's, because I know not everybody's into the sports and stuff, but if you're indifferent or into sports betting, I guarantee you it's a conversation you're going to want to listen to. This week is episode 3, then next week's episode 4. So a week or two after that, we'll get Gil on here, and we'll just talk about the series in its entirety and get Gil's take on a lot of that. One, Bill Crack, the Crack Wins logo is really good. Whoever did that he's got the Kangol hat and everything. It's so iconic of Bill Krakenberger. The second episode I thought was really good. And Gil agree. I called him to specifically talk to him about it. For anybody who hasn't seen it, episode two sort of got into the darker side of gambling, right? It got into parts of it that can make people be antisocial. It talked about some of parents bailing out kids with money. It talked about how much Atlantic City is struggling as a city, right?
There was also a piece in there that made me think of you.
Oh goodness, that's not good.
Oh goodness, yeah. No. Well, I guess it's not like the most flattering, but
okay. What happened?
So you know, this was filmed over the last 8 months or something like that.
Yeah.
And Kelly in Vegas makes it a point to say that Dallas over New Orleans is going to occur. She calls it out, and immediately I was like, man, Tim needs to listen to Kelly in Vegas. That would have saved him an awful lot of grief.
To be fair, she was on Dallas at 7.5, I think. And I don't know if I would have disagreed with that bet. I liked it on a teaser because I thought I'd simply like the Saints to win. But I thought the same when I saw that, I was like, fucking Kelly. All the games that you're gonna feature in this, like, we gotta talk about this one. Goodness. I was thought you're gonna say that I had a rough NFL season, and talking and looking at the just the overall theme of the you know, how difficult it is to winning in sports betting, and sort of what I really thought was interesting was the they talked to that guy that was in like the big penthouse suite, right?
Yeah.
And he admitted that he was not good at it for the longest time and lost for the longest time, and then was determined to win, and has now found himself being a consistent winning bettor. But I really thought that was interesting because that's most successful sports bettors won't admit that they were at one time bad at it. Right. They'll admit they've had mistakes. They'll admit that there was a learning curve. They'll admit that they're that they had a lot, you know, and they'll word it differently, I guess, is what I'm saying. But he kind of came out flat out said that he was a loser, right? That he was a losing bettor. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he even sort of halfway admitted to like seeking help. Or getting counseling. Was it him?
Yeah, somebody. Yeah. One of them went to Gamblers Anonymous. I think it was him. I think he said he went to Gamblers Anonymous, and he said he knew that he needed to. No, maybe I'm confused.
I think there's a.
I think GA came up a couple of times in the episode, and yeah. I don't want to misattribute anything.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. This particular gentleman, I can't remember if he specifically, but I do remember him talking about how he wasn't a winner, and then he turned it around. He got serious and came through and became a winning bettor. Man, Vegas Dave's parents could not be any nicer. Holy smokes. They seem like the sweetest people, which is even more unfortunate because Vegas Dave has to be one of the most loathed people in sports betting. And so, of course, he would have the nicest parents and make us all feel a certain way about that. Something that Gil said on A Numbers Game that I want to echo here, and this is important, I think, for anybody to hear, whether you're into sports betting or not. While sports betting is becoming more popular, and while people seem to be making it their point of attacking pick sellers and everything, one, there is a difference between touts and pick sellers. Touts are all about marketing. Pick sellers are just that. They're selling their picks. And some people... Every pick seller has a different reason to why they are selling their picks, right? And people who try to attack them come with the the same old adage. Well, why don't, if they're so good at it, why don't they just bet on their own picks? Well, I can guarantee you the good ones that are good at it are. But some of them use pick selling as a way to lower their risk, right? Instead of having to get all of their money down on the game, pick selling can help supplement parts of that money that either they're sort of helping limit their risk, or simply they struggle at getting a lot of money down because they are so good their outs are limited. If you are good at anything, picking stocks, whatever it may be. He made the same comparison, and I agree. Like, we don't tell, like, people don't look at stockbrokers like, oh, what a fool, why doesn't he just bet his own? I mean, maybe some people do, but I'm saying together, sort of as a society, we don't look at them as being touts or being frauds because we don't know whether or not they're actually sure. Investing in their own stocks, right?
Well, that's part of my business, right? Yeah. So I mean making recommendations based upon, education, background, and I guess what you follow. I don't own every stock that I recommend.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because it's based on everybody's portfolio. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely different reasons for, just point blank. Anybody who is honestly creating another income stream based upon the work that they do, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great point to wrap that up with, is if that can make another, it's all about how you go about marketing yourself and the transparency you have with the people you're doing business with. And that is the difference between people like Bill Krakenberger, Dr. Bob, what's his name? Base Winner. Who else? Preston Johnson, Marco D'Angelo, Vegas Runner. Even now, I'll say that, VR admitted that he wasn't the most transparent earlier on, but he's more that way now. I thought it was really interesting, Eric, watching the Vegas Dave segment where he released his will play being like a two-team teaser, which I thought was really interesting. I actually expected it to lose. You know what I mean? The way they were building up to it, I actually expected them to feature one that lost and sort of deflate this ego that they had built. But I don't know. I was actually surprised to show that they showed him selling. And you were right. You mentioned this on last week's episode. He puts out this pick. I guess this was in the first episode, maybe, and not in the second one. I watched them back to back, so I may not be tracking on which one was in which episode. But anyways, he puts out these two picks, and then the film crew sits in there and watches him watch the games. And one comes close to losing, but wins the second game in his teaser, wins easily, and boom. Here's what I thought. This was Vegas Dave's finest moment, and I dislike this human being, and I will give him this credit. This was his finest moment. He said he admitted, he was like, when I was gambling, I think even used the word problem. Maybe misquoting him, but he was like, when I was betting a lot, whatever, I wanted to bet the morning games, the afternoon games, the evening games, and the Monday night games, which means my customer base, I know. It doesn't matter whether we win in the morning or not. They're going to want an afternoon game, an evening game, and a Monday night game. And I say it's one of his finest moments because it's probably the most truthful he's ever been, the most spot right. on I've ever like I, that he was in both episodes, because he's absolutely right. I mean, we heard Bill Krakenberger joked about it during Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving Day, where he's like, we know you're betting all three games. We know you are. You shouldn't, but we know you are. Right. And that's how, so to his credits, whether I think that the way that he is going about his business right or not, to his credit, he knows what he's doing, right? He knows what his customer base wants. And that's why, there were days when Gil was selling picks, right? Gil was paired up with Dr. Bob, and he used to do baseball. There were days where there was no play, right? And for the serious sports bettor, that's fine. For the recreational sports bettor, that's not okay, right? They want action, right. You know, right. and that's the difference between marketers like Vegas Dave and like actual handicappers who are selling true picks on the other side of the aisle. So that monologue is one you're probably going to hear from me a number of times while this podcast is in existence, because it is one of the biggest frustrations I have, because people I respect, people this industry respects, sells picks and they do it the right way. And they are unfairly getting looped up, wrapped up into this tout word that we are applying also to the frauds like the Vegas Daves.
Have you ever experienced touts in your everyday life?
I don't think so. I'm not quite sure where you're going with this, but I think the answer is no.
Okay. So I have insurance agents that work for me, and I was leaving. I think we had like a meeting at a diner, and I knew that one of the guys that worked for me gambled a fair amount, but I didn't know quite how much. So we're out in the parking lot of this diner, and this SUV rolls up behind us. Guy jumps out of the car to talk to the agent and say to him, I've got a pick for tonight. I just need, I don't know what the number was, but it was like we're at a diner off the highway, and he saw the guy that worked for me at the time and like knew he had somebody. So like comes flying around and, you know, parks his car behind us to pitch in real life.
Wow.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
So back in the old days of pregame, when I was still wet behind the ears, understanding this whole sports betting thing, I was still new to gambling, was not a smart gambler, was still learning everything. I discovered podcasts, which included the Betting Dork, which is a podcast that Gil was hosting at the time, that was tied to pregame, found pregame. And that was the worst that I really experienced touts, because there was several that were on that site. One of them, and people may recognize his name still floats around the Twitterverse a little bit, one by the name of Philly Godfather, who would sell a pick for $50. And I thought that was outrageous. Like, one normal pick for $50. Look, if you're a recreational bettor, like, $50 to $100 is probably kind of a big bet already, right? And to spend possibly like 100% of that or 50% of that on the pick. Vegas Dave was selling his whale picks for $4.99. That's $499.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie, Eric. I was like, you know what? I know my reputation would be fucked up, but I can make a quick mill following this marketing plan. What? Who pays $500 for one wager? It's unreal.
Well, people who wager a lot more than $500 and are fooled into believing that this guy is good at what he does.
We'll never know, but if I were able to ask something I was strongly curious about during that whole thing was, I really want to know what the average bet size is of one of his clients.
I would imagine his clients' bets are largely on credit.
Yeah.
And that you're looking at, you know, you probably have some people where that's their last $500, and then they're betting on credit money that they don't have.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't think he has too many established bettors that are, you know, continuing to pay him based upon his track record. And anything that I've seen with Vegas Dave on the internet, the people that seem to be supporting him are not people that I believe could drop even a dime in cash at the book.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how do I know? But just, I guess, based upon, it's my perception. I'll leave it at that. And I don't know if we know how real that is, right? I mean, maybe people were sending in emails when they were recording.
Yep. Right.
Like, I wouldn't put it past him if the emails were fake, even though we saw the emails come up. I don't know. I have to imagine it's not that difficult to manufacture that.
Right. So then it goes to, like, there's so many parts of that we can perceive to be fake, which just shows that that you know, the way he moves is completely surrounded by falsehoods, right? Or the potential of falsehoods. Anyways, off of that, we'll briefly mention our thoughts on 3 and 4 when we get a chance, but fuller talk with Gil Alexander a week or two after the series ends. The show is called Action. It is on Showtime. If you are just vaguely interested or very into sports betting, I recommend watching it. It is at the very least an entertaining watch. And what I thought was cool, Eric, is I got to see a lot of people that I knew or recognized or were familiar with, right? Like even Dr. Schwartz makes an appearance,
yeah.
Right? So
Schwartz.
Yeah, exactly. Gil, Bill Krakenberger, Brett Musburger, Jimmy Vaccaro is in it. There's a number of people that you see, and I was like, oh, that guy. Oh, hey, that person. You know, it's cool to see a lot of the characters from the community or from the industry in there. Appreciate everybody's support on Patreon. Patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can go to support the show. Released some bonus content last week. Eric, I released the audio that we were talking about Kanye West music.
I have listened to it. Yeah. There were some parts of that I didn't think were making air.
Sorry.
That's all right. I can laugh at myself, so it's okay. But yeah, that definitely, whatever. It's all good.
All right. I do hope that I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what's appropriate to release, what's not. So if I ever cross that line, I hope you tell me.
I trust you completely. There were no lines crossed.
Very good. And then we also released you, me, and Han talking about being a mark in the mm-hmm. casino. Yeah, but that was an interesting conversation as well.
Which, by the way, Carl Schlegel's The Better Rundown. The best line was, Eric is a mark, not a John. The best line.
That's true. Yeah.
Right? Like, you reply, LOL. I literally laughed out loud when I saw that. I thought that was really funny. It was very clever. Good on you, Carl.
Yeah, good on you, Carl. By the way, I think I tweeted about this. I picked up some produce, some meat from Carl's farm the other week, a few weeks ago. And one of those being andouille sausage that we have put into a chicken and rice dish that is just absolutely delicious. So if you're in the Maryland area, our listener, Carl Schlegel, has a wonderful farm with some great products coming out of it. We've enjoyed everything we've had so far, including the bacon. What else? Patreon.com/thebetterlife. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitresses, and tip your favorite podcast hosts. Eric, I think instead of trying to jam a few more things in here, I think it might be okay just to let this one wrap up. We can go a little fuller for next week's episode, going into Gamblepalooza. What are you looking forward to at Gamblepalooza? I know you're so caught up in helping with the planning and everything. I'm sure that event planner, I'm sure you're dreading these more than you're looking forward to them. What are you looking forward to? What are you planning that you're like, man, I'm actually really excited about this.
Well, it's the people that I don't get to see that often. So, sure. Right. So whether it's Kelly and Julian, whether it's Mark and Dr. Mike, and there's some people that I haven't met yet that have reached out that I'm looking forward to meeting. I think generally my answer is the people, but this is one of those things where, you know, you don't get this that often. And yeah. Adam Travel Fanboy is coming in from Chicago. Is coming, right? So there's like a lot of people congregating, not that Atlantic City is my hometown, but you know, from a casino perspective, it's my home turf. So for everybody to be coming in and it to be my place, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, very good. I'm looking forward to the meal at Dolce Mar. On top of what you've mentioned, I'm looking forward to the meal at Dolce Mar. I'm looking forward to mobbing a craps table and having what will hopefully be a fun round of craps with a bunch of people from the community. And of course, like you mentioned, always great to meet new people, to see people from before. And it has been a while since I have seen, it's been actually Gamblepalooza is the first and only time that I've got to interact with Mark and Dr. Mike. So excited to see them again. So we'll do a little bit more of a preview next week. And then of course we'll do the recap after that. I haven't made my plans for the summit yet, but I do intend on going, and I'm excited that it's happening. We have a website that I keep on that I think I plug one out of three shows. It's called thebetterlife.us. If you go to the online Schlegel's got me saying putting L's where they don't belong. The online shop, which is thebetterlife.us/merch. If you use promo code YO11 at the checkout, you'll get 11% off of your purchase. We have a Keep Calm and Throw Dice shirt, one of those idiots who believes in analytics, and of course the classic The Better Life shirt. Saw someone tweet and said they were running around Vegas with it, Eric. I was super excited to see that. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that. I know you were busy traveling. I did.
No. Okay. No, I did see that. Do we have an update on the t-shirt order? Because I promised t-shirts to, like, I don't know, 1,500 people.
There's
I want to come through.
I'm confirming sizes with the shop. I think there's a good chance there will be to you before you go to Gamblepalooza.
Awesome.
Yeah, they got to make sure the order that we get in line in the order. But I wasn't able to get the confirmation of sizes to them before the day was over. So hopefully tomorrow I can get that finished and we can get in their printing queue in enough time where they can get to you before you head to Atlantic City.
Fantastic.
Eric, we will do this again. We'll chat again soon for next week's episode. And then Gamblepalooza, and then man, the summer's upon us. It's going to be fun. Hope everybody enjoys Final Four. Good luck in your bets. Eric, do you have any futures, anything riding into the Final Four? Do you have anything pending like that? Or are you just doing game by game?
They're all dead.
They're all dead. Yeah.
They're all dead.
I had two futures. They died the first round. It was horrible. Well, on behalf of Eric Rosenthal, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.